It was good weather at that time. We had a good stroke of luck.
Before, because there's more people than there were before.
and so I wanted to be able to experience that opportunity, because as a GBC, either when I was here in the UK for over 20 years, or now I've been based in Hungary, I get bogged down with so many things, managerial issues, personal issues, international issues, national issues, dealing with politics. There's so many things going on, not Christian conscious politics, although there's some of that too, but dealing with politics of the country. And although that's the result of the pioneering and what we've done in the past, but at the same time, it takes up opportunity from just really getting out on the ground level. And so I wanted to be able to do just that. And the most ground floor preaching is when you just walk out the door and you go out on the street. And you go out on the street and you chant Hare Krishna. You go out on the street and you distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. Chanting Hare Krishna is our dharma. But when we chant Hare Krishna, in one sense, it's a very passive kind of preaching. It's passive in the sense that here's the Harinam party is going down the street chanting, and every once in a while, some either very pious person or very drunk person, or both, join into the Harinam and chant with us. But for the most part, we're going this way, everyone else is going this way, and they hear the holy name and say, here come the Hare Krishnas, and it's of transcendental and absolute benefit to them. But still, there's no commitment on their part, they haven't really done anything, they haven't really bought into anything. But when you distribute books, it's a little different. You can't be passive. If you're passive, you go home with empty pockets and as many books as you took out with you. So in order to actually distribute Srila Prabhupada's books, you have to connect and interact with people, and you have to get them to actually accept Krishna consciousness. And it's a very wonderful type of preaching, because you immediately need to get results. For instance, I'm talking here, but what's going to be the result? What will be the result? Everyone's like, oh, someone gave a class, Maharaj gave a class, oh, it was nice to see him again, and so on, and everyone goes on their way. So it's nice. But you couldn't even say so well, unless there's a real result. Unless there's a real result from preaching means there has to be some result. If it's just hearing, I mean, Bhagavad Gita, we're talking about Bhagavad Gita. People have been talking about Bhagavad Gita in India for 5,000 years. What's the result? The result is that really only one person understood the Bhagavad Gita, which was Srila Prabhupada. Because he, Iraidam Paramam Guyam, then picking up the Bhagavad Gita outside. So preaching is more than just chanting, it's more than just talking, it requires reciprocation. Immediate reciprocation. Either people immediately say, like Arjuna, it was immediate. Krishna is telling them, well, you do whatever you want, the danger seems to happen. And Arjuna says, I'll do whatever you say. Now, at the end of my talking, you come over to me and say, I'll do whatever you say, and you better think twice before you say that. Then I'll think, I spent my time on you. But that's what preaching is about. Hare Shiva Chanantara. Alright, whatever you want, I'll do. And that's called surrender. Because that's what Krishna says. Mami kam sharanam raja. Otherwise, of course, it's not just Bhagavad Gita, but this city is full of churches, and it's also got mosques, and it's got dozens more mandirs in it. What's the result? Where's the one person who says, Sadishri Vachanam Kamam, I'll do whatever you say? So ultimately, I wanted to have that type of experience where people will have to reciprocate. Of course, they don't think they have to reciprocate, but somehow or another, there's a type of personal interaction and dynamic where you say, and here are these people, they're outside on the street, they're going to buy, well, when we were out there, most of them were going to buy Christmas presents, they're going to get drunk, they're going to do both, and visit family and relatives, and the last thing they were doing, for the most part, although we bumped into some people, is they weren't out looking for a Bhagavad Gita or a Srimad Bhagavatam. But when you come in contact with them and somehow or another over a period of a few minutes, and it can't take any more than that, after that it has, the time has diminishing returns. The longer you talk, the less likely you get a result. So that somehow or another these people all of a sudden decide that they want Krishna consciousness. And that's a really very wonderful thing. And it's not something that individuals are actually doing anything. They become instruments. They become instruments in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's hands, because ultimately Krishna's in those people's hearts. And when we somehow or another synchronize with this missionary atmosphere, in other words, we've also done a similar thing, where we say, all right, whatever you say, I'll do. My Lord Chaitanya says, then go out and give Krishna consciousness to others, then we do that. So I wanted to be able to do that and experience that. It's a very nice thing. It's particularly nice because when you're out there on the street, no one comes up to me and bows down. No one knows how to do it. Although I introduced myself, but I told them I was Swami, so I said it would be not a lot of Swamis. And people just treat me like, who are you? I'm just another Hare Krishna. Which is also very good. It's very good to be reminded that actually we're not one. We're just a very small, little, insignificant people, living entities. And anyway, this type of sort of tiny spirit is what really gives life to this movement, because this Krishna consciousness movement is there. It's a pioneering movement. And when you take the pioneering spirit out of it, then we're lost. Then our movement is finished. So 50 years have gone by, and you can imagine we're always sitting here, and you may be a little cool, at least the wind isn't blowing, but you just think Srila Prabhupada was in very similar circumstances 50 years ago. Prabhupada was living in an office building, and he was living in a broom closet that was one-third the size of that altar area, with no window, no bed. Prabhupada slept on the floor on a little mat. And so here was this Vaishnava who was 70 years old. He had left India. He had no money. He had no acquaintances, and he had this idea that he was going to establish a worldwide religion. Now, from a material point of view, it's absurd. And more than absurd, the statistics or the chances, just like recently when they were winning the lottery, they were counting the statistics of what are the chances of winning. The chances of his being successful was much higher than having won the jackpot. And he was just all alone. But in 12 years it happened. In fact, it didn't take 12 years to happen. Within 1 year, Srila Prabhupada had followers, and in the years that followed, the Krishna consciousness movement spread like wildfire. Why? Because Prabhupada left Vrindavan. Because Prabhupada sacrificed his comfort, he sacrificed his health, he sacrificed his safety. Prabhupada was attacked by crazy people on a number of occasions. But Prabhupada had this preaching spirit. He had many other godfathers. They were in their temples in nice and warm India. They had security, they had disciples, they had finances. And in India, even if you're out on the street, it's still a reasonable place by comparison to being out on the street here, especially if you're a sadhu. But they didn't have that preaching spirit. But Srila Prabhupada had it. And because Srila Prabhupada had it, all of the Krishna consciousness movement just came. It just came out of nowhere, against all likelihood. And because of the people that Srila Prabhupada made Krishna conscious movement, it wasn't from the Indian community, it wasn't from the intelligentsia, it wasn't from the people who were really familiar with Indian culture or Vaishnavism. It was with, at that time, the most lost and bewildered class of people. They were called hippies at the time. And Srila Prabhupada was able to convince them, he got them to surrender. And Prabhupada's expectation wasn't that, yes, now you just go home and chant Hare Krishna and everything's okay. But Prabhupada wanted them to give everything up. Prabhupada was there all alone. And if you forget your education, forget your parents, forget your job, forget the world around you, they're all crazy. I'm the only one that's safe. And we believe that. And because he was right. Because everyone else is crazy. They're completely crazy. Because when you think you're this body, you're crazy. And Srila Prabhupada had the courage to do that. And when parents and anti-cult groups and police and politicians thinking, what is this old man doing here? And what is he doing with our youth and so on? Prabhupada didn't blame him. He just continued. Even when parents came, Srila Prabhupada, oh, my son is here. He says, go ahead, take him. I'm not telling him to stay here. He's free to go. It's up to him. So Srila Prabhupada wanted to see results. And that's what he wanted from us as well. He was very result-oriented, just like we also live in a really result-oriented world. Anyone who's working out there, if you don't perform, you're likely out of a job. So Srila Prabhupada didn't put us out of a job, but he wanted us to perform in the same way that he inspired us to surrender everything. All he told us is, you do the same thing that I do, and the same thing will happen. And the same thing happened. It wasn't because we were necessarily very learned, or because we knew so much about Krishna consciousness. It wasn't because we were very pure by habit, although we followed those principles that Prabhupada gave. But because of the dynamic of this pioneering spirit, when you do it, then it has an effect on others. And that's the effect that happens when you go out on the street, that other people immediately feel it. If you're in the pioneer's consciousness, then it immediately inspires them to do what you say. Take this book. What's it about? Yoga, meditation, it's the Bhagavad Gita. You're not this body. Right? Yeah, right. I never thought about it, but they say you're right. Do I have to give you a donation? Yes. Give as much as you can. And they do. But as soon as you're not on the missionary spirit, as soon as you're in the mental spirit, then it's lost. They turn around and go. So it's a certain type of shakti, Krishna shakti, it's a certain type of potency that Srila Prabhupada showed us by his own example, that potency will empower anyone. You just have to take a chance. You just have to do it. Srila Prabhupada said it in so many words, take chances on behalf of Krishna. Don't be comfortable. Of course, we can't say we're necessarily sitting in our comfort zone right now. This temple will be very comfortable, more comfortable in the future. But Srila Prabhupada encouraged us to do that, because that is the quickest and easiest way to attain that type of sarva-dharma-buddhi-bhakti, that surrender that Krishna talks about. You can attain it by just chanting Hare Krishna, by staying home and worshipping deities, or by living in a holy place like Vrindavan, but it may take a long, long time. But this is instant. You just have to step into that particular type of energy. So 50 years have gone by, but actually that same transcendental potency was present. Krishna was here 5,000 years ago, it was present with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, present with Srila Prabhupada, and it's present also right now. But one has to be willing to do the needful, step out of the comfort zone, be able to just say, alright, tell me whatever you say, I'll do it. Because when you get even just one person who says that, then so many other things can actually transpire and happen. And that missionary mood not only becomes a real vehicle for giving Krishna consciousness to others, it's the fastest way to become Krishna conscious. So Srila Prabhupada would say this repeatedly. He would say the secret of getting Krishna's attention is to preach. And when we do that, then it's a fact. You get Krishna's attention. Otherwise, getting Krishna is very busy. He's got a lot of things going on. He's playing with cattle boys and gopis and so on. I'm just looking in my pocket to see. This morning I was writing. Anyway, Krishna's very busy. And if you want to take his attention, you have to do something more attractive than what Srimati Radharani is doing or what the cattle boys are doing. And what's more attractive is actually bringing other people into the fold, making that effort of bringing other people to Krishna. That's what this building is here for. It can't be for you, because you're already here. So what do you need it for? We need it for people who aren't here. So it's a place, as Srila Prabhupada says, our temples are a place where we go out in order to give Krishna to others, and then we bring other people here. And that really is going to make this temple a temple, is how many other devotees each of us can actually commit to bring it here. That it's here for us, and we're chanting Hare Krishna, or we're chanting Hare Krishna. We're chanting Hare Krishna members before this building is here. So, but, and it's a big place. can accommodate a lot more than you're sure of your life now. I was writing this morning, thankfully I was writing the last chapter of the book. It was going to be the last chapter either because it's the end of the book or because it was the end of me. But thankfully it was the end of the book. And I have this, I included this one particular letter. This is, this is a lecture. Srila Prabhupada's first arrival in Los Angeles, when he was, it seems like he was greeted by a lot of members of the Indian community. And it's in Los Angeles, January 8th, 1968. So that's 47 years ago. January 8th, this is also in January. And this is part of the episode. He's talking about Lord Chaitanya. To do the best service to the humanity, that is his order, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's. To do the best service to humanity. He was so much compassionate for the human society. So by his grace, his philosophy, his teachings are now being spread in the Western countries. And I have taken up the humble responsibility. Please help me. You'll be happy. It is such a nice movement. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was also humanitarian. He's not a religionist. He was not meant for preaching a particular cult to gather some followers. No. It is the need of the human society. And he wanted to preach all over the world. Because it was not possible at that time, in his time. He lived only 48 years. He took sannyas at the age of 24 years, and he passed away in 24 years. He was very busy all over India. Therefore, he left his legacy to the Indians, any Indian, to take up his cause and preach his cult of Sankirtan movement all over the world. So I shall request you to understand the philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his movement. We have got already six centers. Prabhupada already had six centers in that time. Five centers in your country. I started first in 1966, July, in New York. Then I started in San Francisco, then Boston, then in Montreal. Of course, I did not go everywhere. These boys and sincere boys and girls who are helping me, who have joined this movement, they are great. This center was started also by one boy. I have come for the first time here. Now I will request you that this movement is nothing sectarian or anything bluff. It is a movement as a necessity of the human society. You join it. You consider it. You put your logic arguments. In every way, you will find that this is a necessity of the present day. Yes, I was particularly here, Srila Prabhupada. Now he's got six centers. Maybe he's got dozens, maybe 100 devotees. Maybe more. The Prabhupada is saying, and I was talking to the Indian community, he says, please help me. So you can see that Prabhupada gave us all the opportunity for this sort of missionary spirit. And he asked everyone, he sat down repeatedly, he said, please help me. It was obviously it wasn't our idea. I simply didn't have the idea that this is what I was going to do with my life. At least prior to having met, not even Prabhupada, because I was involved in Krishna consciousness for about 5 years before I even met Prabhupada. But it was very clear that this Prabhupada's message or the Prabhupada's request was there to everyone, was asking everyone to help him. When he was all alone, with no one, 50 years ago this time, Prabhupada had no one. But he kept asking people to help him. And those people who got to know Srila Prabhupada, they knew that there was, they never got to meet anybody like Srila Prabhupada, they never met anybody like him. What the future holds, I guess, is something else. And it makes life worthwhile. Do something quite significant, something more than just being part of a horrible world that's taking people not even to nowhere, because really it's taking them to hell. But actually doing something that makes history. Just like here in Leicester, this building is history. It's history. And it's a, the devotees have opportunity to really make history, rather than just be part of history. And you can make history when you have Krishna on your side. And you get Krishna on your side by helping Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada says, please help him. So you can, if you can give your life and you can give everything, that's the best thing. And Krishna says, prana, arta, tiya, vacha. You give your prana. If you can't give that, at least empty your bank balance. If you're on a bank balance, and empty your pocket. And dhiya bhaja, give your intelligence, give some services, help. It really makes life worthwhile. It may not be easy, but then life isn't easy in any case, but it's extremely rewarding. And because whatever the difficulties, you always know I'm doing something useful. Doing something to help other people understand what reality is, to actually bring people out of reality. And that's why we were very inspired. We had our team, and we, Pradyumna Prabhu introduced them, because we thought this is a really extraordinary part of history and the history of the Midlands, where we can actually make a real change in people's lives by giving them Krishna consciousness. And that was what inspired us to also do this marathon here. I had the opportunity to be inside in a nice heated shopping mall in Sweden, where people are a lot richer than they happen to be in Liverpool. But anyway, this was a very nice, good opportunity. So 50 years ago, Srila Prabhupada had this real dream, and his dream came true. In fact, Prabhupada's came more than came true. It appears impossible, but that's sort of one of Krishna's special hobbies, Krishna's special pastimes. He likes to make the impossible possible. And he can do it. He can do anything because he's God. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai Jagannath Prabhu.